Welcome to Vet Talk with Royal Canin, where we address an array of topics relevant to the veterinary profession and veterinary clinics. I'm Brenda Andreessen, co-CEO at Stevens & Associates, and I'm your host for this conversation. Today's episode is all about veterinary technicians, their integral role within clinics and within support networks for both pets and pet parents. As the veterinary profession evolves, we're going to deliver a growing population of pets and pet parents seeking care. We've already seen that. Because of this, the skills of our veterinary technicians are more in demand than ever before. It's a trend that provides opportunity for veterinary technicians to create bright and sometimes unique futures for themselves, carving career paths and customizing their own professional development. Joining me today are two veterinary technicians who have done just that. Royal Canin North America's Bree Morrow and the multi-credentialed Kara Burns. Bree and Kara, thanks for joining us for this conversation today.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Always love talking with Bree and yourself, Brenda. So thank you for having me.
This is going to be a really, really fun one. I think coming on the heels of some conversations that, you know, have been had in the industry recently, and especially around the projected growth for the need for veterinary technicians in practice. I mean, right now that number seems to stand somewhere around 21% from what the 2022-2023 needs were said to be. So this amounts to almost 14,800 openings for technicians projected for each year on average over the decade. That's massive. You start adding those numbers up and it's pretty incredible. So as professionals, each of you with years of experience under your belt, what's your reaction to statistics like that?
I guess now when I hear those numbers, my first thought is, hello, job security. But, you know, in keeping it real for us veterans in the industry, this is a game changer because back in the day when I first became licensed, landing a job was very competitive. We had to take tests for medical math and protocols to see if we were really a good fit, and negotiating with the hospital, forget about it. Like that never happened. It was, this is what you're being offered and you can take it or leave it because there's somebody else that would be very quick to fill in the role. You know, fast forward today, now there's a neon flashing sign saying like demand for veterinary technicians. And it is truly, not to sound corny, it is our time to shine, negotiating our worth, showing our value to like of our services and how crucial we are to this booming industry, right? With the landscape shifting, we can really take the reins and negotiate terms that truly reflect our skills and what we can do in the practice.
Yeah, absolutely. It is our time to shine. And we have been really, you know, championing that for a long time. You know, we are here to help. We are members of the healthcare team. We can do things that we have been educated and skilled to actually perform in the clinic. So I appreciate Bree saying that because of, as she said, it's our time to shine. That is a lot over the next 10 years. But when you think about it, you know, I'll step back a little bit. Is it really a lot? Because, you know, if we are utilized properly for every veterinarian, there should be, you know, at least three veterinary technicians. And so, you know, to me, the number is surprising, but it's surprising until I take a step back and look at it as, yeah, you know what, that is right. And hopefully, you know, it will continue. There are, over 220 AVMA CFT credentialed veterinary technician schools. So we should be able to put out that number with that many schools. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for Bree and my profession and for the veterinary profession as a whole.
How do you, so that's a lot of upside, right? For the individuals who are going into practice as veterinary technicians or pursuing education as a veterinary technician, but how do you see that playing out within the actual clinic? Are there changes that are going to have to be made in the way practices look at things? And, what kind of impact are you socializing in your networks around that?
I think the changes have started. I hope they have. I've been around the profession for a long time, and I've, championed again with my colleagues that we as veterinary technicians, credentialed veterinary technicians, should be utilized. I have finally started to see that change. We still have a long way to go. But again, if we are properly utilized, then it makes sense for, 148,000 technicians over the next 10 years to come into our profession. So there is, like you said, totally, it's all upside. And we need to look at it that way. And we need the profession to continue to focus on properly utilizing the entire team, not just technicians, but the entire team. Obviously, I'm going to focus on the technicians.
That's a good point to pull the entire team into the practice ecosystem, really. Bree, what are you hearing in your network?
In my network, I'm hearing a lot of like, we need help. right. But, I echo a lot of what Kara is saying clearly. But when we're looking at this shift with utilization, it's really about like, we need to increase and gear up towards greater efficiency. Veterinarians who are performing veterinary technician duties or capabilities have less profitable hospitals. And we could also probably latch onto that and mirror that for, veterinary technicians that are doing skill sets or capabilities that could be fulfilled by a veterinary assistant, by other support staff. Again, it decreases profitability, but what about the number of pets that we're serving? So if we can more effectively operate within all of our scopes, right? Like, does that booster really require a veterinarian's expertise? Does that weight loss conversation or food feeding trial conversation need to be set up for 45 minutes of a veterinarian's time? Can we be more efficient with technician-led appointments within our scopes of practices, right? Not going outside of those lines, but can we operate in that functionality so veterinarians can see more medical cases serving the pets that, the phones are still ringing and technicians are being optimally utilized, assistants are being optimally and effectively utilized, and it's a win-win for everybody, including the pets, so that's what I'm hearing a lot of chatter about, but there's that fear set are like, how do we launch that, right? Like, how do we make change happen?
It's interesting. We've talked a lot about the opportunities that technicians can build for themselves within practice. And all of this leads to a demanding career choice, really. I mean, you both know being a veterinary technician, being in the veterinary profession is demanding in ways you probably didn't recognize it could be when you chose that as a profession. So how do you each personally stay energized and continue to feed your soul even when the days are hard?
I don't know. Carol probably say the same thing, but bad days that are inevitable in this field. This is a really hard profession, right? Where we have an immense passionate love for cats, dogs, all creatures, but sometimes we don't always win, right? So I really do think I might practice a little bit differently where I don't ignore it to truly experience those emotions. But the trick for me is I do have to switch it to, leaning into some humor, whether it's watching some movie or pulling up a stupid joke or, asking a friend for a meme or whatnot, but really having that conversation. When that's not enough, digging into my hobbies, making certain that I am doing things that also fill my cup, like, hey, today missed the mark. How else am I going to fill that cup up with something else?
Good insight. Kara, I know we've had multiple conversations about this fairly recently, so I'm sure you've got some great suggestions as well.
Yeah, it is a tough profession. Every member on the team is extremely empathetic. I think we are the most empathetic profession. And, you know, with that comes some really hard times, some really hard days. What Bree was saying, we need to really get out to the masses and reinforce that it is okay. And it's more than okay. We should be taking time for ourselves to, as you put it, to refill our buckets, because we need time to ourselves. And every one of us is different. And so, and it's so important that we do that to refill. Yes. And also, you know, to help combat what's going on in our profession. We need to find the proper resources. Bree and I have, you know, we know what works for us, but, you know, we need to make sure that our colleagues, our coworkers have their outlets so they can continue to fill their buckets and not, you know, get taken under by the load of, you know, everyday practice.
I think it's good to get that out there, right? Because people so often think that you can't be human, and you should be human. Everybody should be human, right? And like, and knowing that there are resources out there, whether it's friendships or resources provided by, you know, NAFTA, for example, AVMA, the Veterinary Professional Association, there are any number of groups who are trying to, you know, understand what it looks like right now to be a veterinary professional and a veterinary technician, and how we can make a future look a little bit brighter as well. You know, it's important to, I think, recognize the fact that there's so much good and so much upside as well. So I'm curious to know, for example, when you look at a NAVTA, you look at the Veterinary Professionals Association, any of the other groups that are out there, you know, what of the ideas that are out there now feel right and good to you, like central to the future of this really worthy, you know, profession? It's a big question. You might need to think about it for just a second.
Yeah. With NAFTA, you know, the Vet Nurse Initiative, but I'm looking at it as more than just the name. If we could get away, if we could get all of our coworkers, our colleagues away from the name and focus on the rest of that, that's what we should be doing. I think to help our profession and help, you know, everyone in the veterinary technician profession to move forward, right? The standardized credentials. If we can standardize credentials and have title protection, et cetera, our profession will be moving forward a lot faster. And I think we definitely need to do that. Along with that comes what Bree and I have already mentioned, technician utilization, right? We do have some industry partners who are trying to help push forward the idea. It shouldn't even be an idea, but the actuality of, you know, team utilization. And, you know, along with that comes, you know, improve morale, all the things that we've just talked about in these first 10 minutes, improve morale, better patient care, increase revenue, right? When I first started in veterinary medicine, revenue was a dirty word. Oh, you know, we can't talk about revenue. Why can't we, right? What veterinary technician out there doesn't want to raise, right? So we have to talk about revenue. And, you know, so I think in terms of the Vet Nurse Initiative, some of the components of that are really trying to get to the bottom of or to standardize some of the issues that we are running into. And again, you talk to anyone, you go to a conference, you go on, you know, vet tech social media groups, and you'll see it. We want better pay. We want to be utilized. You know, we want benefits. et cetera, et cetera. And so the more that we can standardize things, the more that we can be utilized, the better off we are going to be as a profession.
Bree, any further thoughts there?
Everybody is doing a little bit of something different, and there's a lot of conversations being had. And I love aspects of every single one. And I echo Kara's thought of, you know, like the Veterinary Nurse Initiative. We need to like pause on that gut reaction of the word nurse, or, you know, the epic battle. Are we a nurse or are we a technician? And, you know, like, no, we're not a human nurse. We're a veterinary nurse, or we're a veterinary technician. We're not just a technician, right? We have to look at words matter. And, you know, just in general, but the standardization. But I also want us to, because I feel like some folks may be stepping away from resources that are available because they're like, oh, you know, they're pushing towards standardization and I don't meet all that. So as we're moving towards standardization and trying to move our profession forward, is not to forget those who are also in the profession currently, because that is going to impede our diversity amongst the profession. And so, like, how do we bring, I mean, all these passionate pet ambassadors with us? How do we, you know, grasp our arms around all of them, get us underneath, you know, whether, you know, title and credentials and capabilities? How do we reassure practice managers, practice owners, veterinarians that these are the things that we can do? But also we do need to pay a little attention to the colleges as well. It's like, how do we create a workplace culture of safety for them where they feel safe to ask questions, where they feel safe to make a mistake, where they feel safe to, you know, ask for mentorship and acknowledge that, so that, again, like, we're not bringing new technicians in just for them to leave. So I think that we do need like a 360 degree view. There's not going to be one magic bullet. I'm a magic bullet gal, but there's not going to be one magic answer. But we do need to look at everybody who's currently in a profession right now. How do we, you know, level the playing field? How do we level, you know, our capabilities, our name, our recognition, and move forward, versus like, it just kind of seems, and I know there's frustrations there. It kind of seems like it's this big ball and like, oh, you got to pick where you stand. I stand with our profession, you know, and I stand for pets. And, so how do we move that forward? They all have great resources. And so I do want to highlight, like, it doesn't matter which one, just use the resources that are there.
I love what you said about it. You know, you stand for the profession, you stand for the pets that you are dedicated to serve. It really comes back to the humanity of it all, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about it.
Comes back to our oath and why we got into this in the first place.
Yeah,
and exactly. And I think it's important too that we all start communicating with each other, because we have all these entities that are doing different things, which great, because they're all trying in their own way to move the profession forward. But are we talking to each other and having authentic, open communication? I think that is very much needed. But, you know, Bree said it beautifully. She stands for the profession. Yeah. I'd like to echo that. We are here. I got into veterinary medicine, like I think most of my colleagues, to help animals. We all work together. So why aren't we working together?
It's an ecosystem that where everybody is equally important, right? I mean, everyone plays an important role for sure. We're getting to a point in the time, darn it, where it comes time to wrap up every good conversation that comes along, especially when you're doing a podcast. But I'll give you just a second to think about it, and then whichever of you feels ready for us to dive in. But I want to bring this back to humanity and back to each of you as a person for a moment here, and ask you to think about and then share a piece of advice that you really lean into, that you have found extraordinarily helpful to you, that you would like to share with the veterinary professionals, the veterinary technicians, the veterinary nurses, veterinary assistants listening to this podcast, and something that they can maybe hang on to and remember when they're thinking about their chosen career.
I have to say, one of the biggest pieces of wisdom for myself, maybe, and this is corny, but it's true. I was once told that I say thank you too much. And I was, you know, stop saying thank you so much. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And, you know, I marinated on that for a while. And I'm like, no, that's the person I am. And that's who I want to be. And that's who I want the people around me to be. I you know, kindness, right? Be kind. Again, I know it sounds very corny, but if we look at our profession and in our world right now, we can use some kindness. And I will always say thank you to anyone and everyone because of, I think I was raised that's the right thing to do. So to tell me I say thank you too much, I'm like, nope, you can fire me. But but I'm not changing, you know, the basic core values. So I guess my big takeaway is, you know, don't change your core values for anyone or anything. You know, live those in the best interest of your teammates and your patients.
Well, Kara, I love that. Thank you. I think that was too much. Bree, how about you?
Yeah, I actually have it. It's a quote on my wall that I have had since my grandmother kind of gave me this quote as I was kind of struggling, like, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? And it is, if you don't go after what you want, you'll never have it. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. And if you don't step forward, you're always in the same place. And to me, I've tried to lean into that a lot throughout my career. It's like, what's the worst that can happen if you ask to do something or if you ask permission to do something? No? Okay, great. Yes. Wow. Right? Like it's one of those things that, you know, if you want to do something in your practice, ask. And that's what I really started to do, which had led me to, you know, working in practice, then going to Royal Canin to where I am now, to getting my VTS. Like, it's helped me along my career progression of, like, if you don't go after it, like, hey, I want to be a speaker. Hey, I want to do this. And, well, you gotta take that first step. And so, yeah, that's really where I've leaned into. But then my mentor from back when I was working in kennels, you know, he always told his staff, like, if you're not happy, don't leave the profession, leave the practice.
Yeah. Excellent advice.
And yeah. And so, like, there's no reason, like, if you're not meshing with the clientele or the workplace culture, that it's okay to leave, because this is an awesome industry. And I mean, and he just recently retired, and I'm no spring chicken. you know, and so, like, he just recently retired, and everybody asked him, when are you gonna? He's like, I love it, and I've always loved it, but you have to love where you work and who you work for and everything like that, and don't be afraid to move around. Like, it's okay to choose the job and the place and the location where you're happy to do your best work.
Boy, I cannot think of a better way to send people off from this podcast with those two really, you know, phenomenal and heartfelt, you know, pieces of wisdom that you just shared. So thank you. This has been a really phenomenal conversation. Always enjoy talking with each of you and appreciate that you took time to join us today on Vet Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks so much.